It is good to have the school nearby, isn't it? Last time the choir came and they sang for us, and this time we've seen their other talents. And praise the Lord for our young people. Zachary, where are you? There you are. Come on up here. Yeah, before I could give you this, though, I gotta take care of some business. Just stand here. Zachary was baptized. Any baptism, any transfer has to come through the church. So if there's a motion, we accept Zachary into the Valley View Seventh-day Adventist Church. I'd like to hear that. Is there a second? Yeah. All those in favor say big amen.
Amen.
Any opposed? You're good. Welcome to the family. Here's your baptismal certificate, and I explained that to you, didn't I? All right. And here, I got you a gift. And as I was looking at that book, I said, ooh, I want that one. But no, I had chosen that for Zachary. It's a good book, and I hope you read it and learn from it. And that will help you start strengthening your walk with, or I should say, continue to strengthen your walk with Jesus Christ, because I know you love Jesus and you want to follow him throughout the rest of your life. So Zachary, welcome, and when we are done, I'm going to ask you maybe and Dad and Mom if you would take him to the front so we could welcome him in a little bit more personally. They'll give you a handshake, and some of you, maybe some even will give you a hug. All right? Yeah. God bless. Thank you. Ooh. Some Sabbaths are busier than others. Let's see how far we get this time. Because we started last Sabbath, and well, we had to cut that a little bit short, and I know you have things to do, but one of the things we do is we come to worship. And please understand that I'm aware of your time. I'm aware that you've been sitting there a long time, but personally, I don't really have a time for worship. They, Pastor, what time do we get out? Well, sometimes when I'm done. But I'm very considerate of your time. So we're going to try to do as much as we can. Last week we started the sermon on being strong and courageous. And we learned a little bit about spiritual strength, which is it includes virtues of conviction, courage to be uncompromising, courage to confront error and false doctrine, the courage to face intimidation, the courage to face persecution, and still remain true to what it's right. And then from there, we read a text, 1 Corinthians 16, 13, and 14, which we started reading, and there was a phrase there that was very interesting, because in some versions it says, to act like man. Act like a man. And like I told you, I don't know if the ladies had any questions about that, because I told you that if there was a verse in the Bible that said, and act like a woman, I would probably try to figure out what that meant. As a matter of fact, I was outside there shaking your hands and greeting you, and three of you came up and said, Pastor, look. And I said, what? What's going on? Look. They were, look. There were like 12, 13 men around a car. They were all huddled around a car, just looking at the front. And the lady said, and you want us to act like men? I don't know what kind of car it was. A Studebaker had one part of one car, another part of another car. It might have been interesting, but I should have had a camera. Should have had a camera. Act like men, it says, 1 Corinthians 16, 13, and 14. It is a simple exhortation that the Bible gives us to act like men. But you know what? This is just a phrase that was used. Why they use this phrase? It is uncertain why they use the phrase act like man or act like a man. The Greek verb, you know, the best translation would have been, and some Bibles do have it, is to be strong conduct yourselves in a courageous way. That's what should have been written there, but some translations put act like men. And why do you think that's so? Well, I think it's because maybe even further back, from the Old Testament time, New Testament times, to the, when everybody was going west here in the United States, being a man, I guess, was a very difficult thing. You had to be very brave and very courageous when you said to your family, "We're going west. And what are we going to do going west? Well, we're going to get in our wagons and we're going to fight off Indians and we're going to just, there are no roads, so we'll make our own roads. And if we get to where we're going, then we're going to build a house." Oh, is there a Home Depot or Lowe's where you could go buy 2x4s? No, it involved going out and clearing the land, chopping trees, big ones, little ones, all kinds, building your own home and protecting your home from raids maybe or from wild animals. You remember Little House on the Prairie when that wolf jumps in? Some of you saw that. Anyways, to be a man was sort of synonymous to being strong and courageous. And I'm just going to quickly go through three illustrations for you where this phrase is used, to be strong and courageous. If you brought your Bibles, please open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31, verses 6 and 7. 31, 6 and 7, what is happening here? We're going to have a change of leadership. What's happening? We just had a change of leadership here in our country. You just had a change of leadership here at Valley View just like 5.5 months ago. Seems like we've been having a lot of changes. And this is what's been happening here. Moses, that fearless leader, and by this time really tired, was getting ready to turn over the leadership to Joshua. And in 31, 6 and 7, this is what he says: "Be strong and a good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." And then Moses called Joshua and said to him, "In the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with these people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it." So if we stay with that phrase that we've been using, what is Moses challenging Joshua to do or charging him to do? Is Joshua, act like a man. Be strong and of good courage. Lead the people to where they need to be. That was the charge that Moses was giving him. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. This was David. He's getting also ready to turn the leadership over to Solomon. And before he does, he's exhorting Solomon to do something. 1 Kings 2, verses 2 and 3. It says, "I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in His ways, to keep His statutes, His commandments, His judgments, and His testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn." And I don't know if you got that from verse 3. I don't know what you got from verse 3 as I read it and as you read it, but verse 3 tells us how to be strong and courageous. Verse 3, it tells us. And here it is. We become strong and courageous by being people that study the Word of God. And not only do we study the Word of God, but we also obey the Word of God. You know, the book of Revelation says that there is a promise for those that read what's in the book, but also what to do what's in the book. Very important that we study, yes, but more important that we do what the Bible is asking us to do. I have a class here in the back, and I'm with young people, and there were two of them, and I was telling him, what's the use or what benefit do we have if we start reading our Bible January 1, 2009, because I know some of you are saying, you know, I made a promise to the Lord to study the Bible throughout the whole year, and I failed January 3rd. But I'll wait till next year till I'll really strongly, really start faithfully studying the Bible. January 1, 2009, I'm going to start. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read 4 chapters instead of the 3 that it says to read. You know what? Start today. Why wait till 2009? But I was telling the young people there, what use is that we read all and then hurriedly read it, and then we don't apply it? I would rather see someone read one verse in the morning and apply that verse to their life all day than to hurriedly read 4 chapters because, well, that's what it said to do here in the paper, and not apply it. It's very important. That's how we become people that are courageous and victorious, and we have spiritual strength when we read the Word of God and obey what God has told us or commanded us to do. And the best example is found, if you turn your Bibles with me, to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. The other two examples, Moses was charging Joshua, and then David was exhorting Solomon. In this text, it is God that's talking to Joshua. It's God. All right? And listen to what he says, what God says to Joshua. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And then he said, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Question, God asks, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So let's summarize what God is telling Joshua. Because from this verse, the verses here, to be strong means to live out one's convictions that are found in the Word of God. To be strong, that's what it means. And so, if you notice, the Lord Himself, Jesus Christ, has paved the way for us already, which is a good thing. Verse 5, he says that in Joshua 1, verse 5, he says that he is with us. Now, I don't know what trials you're facing today, what trials you faced this week, what trials are just on hold right now, because when we come as a family, as a church family, to worship, it is good that we set aside all those problems that we have. You know, if Sabbath comes around, and if there are bills, if there are problems, if there are trials, if there are things that you had been facing during the week, it is so good to be able to at least if you could do this, to set them aside for one day. Yeah. And I know it was kind of hard because I'm looking at the students. They're up there and some of you are down here. I remember when that, according to us, that mean teacher, would say there'll be a test on Monday. And then, you know, Friday, and then Sabbath comes around. And sometimes you try to concentrate on the Sabbath activities, but then way back here, all of a sudden the picture of that teacher flashes in your mind. And Monday morning, with a big stack of papers, this is the test. I remember that. But if at all possible, it says if we could just clear our minds. Because we're going to face trials. We're going to face temptations. We're going to face hard times. But the promise in verse 5 is that He will be with us. Whatever you're going to face, He's going to be with us. Verses 6, 7, and 9. We do our part. What do we need to do? It's basically this. We need to be faithful by having strength and courage. That is what the Lord is asking us to do. To be faithful by having strength and courage. And how do we get strength and courage? By studying the Word of God. This is where we get our strength and our courage. To face things, to face temptations, to face opposition to the Word of God, this is where we get our courage. And in the Word of God, as we have seen, and there are many other examples also, there are many examples in the Old Testament that have to do with strength and courage. But there's an example that we're going to end with this, because there is an example or a mandate, a command that is given to us that will help us in fulfilling the command that the Lord is giving us to be faithful, to have strength, to have courage. And that is found in Ephesians chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Ephesians chapter 3. And I'll be reading verses 14 through 16. Ephesians 3, 14 through 16. And this is what it says. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. All right. So what did I say these two Sabbaths? One, it is a command that the Lord is asking us to be strong and courageous. What did I say? A command. It is not a suggestion. Some people think that the Ten Commandments are the Ten Suggestions. They're not Ten Suggestions. They're commandments. And to be strong and courageous is a command that the Lord is giving us. But listen to this. That command could only be obeyed by this wondrous, mysterious person called the Holy Spirit if we let Him work in our hearts. It is the only way we could obey this command, by letting the Holy Spirit work with us. So what does that mean? It means that we have to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And last time I checked, most people don't like to be controlled by someone. You ask a spouse or a friend. But if we want to be courageous, and if we want to have spiritual strength, we have to learn to let the Holy Spirit control our lives. So this week, as you go, you know, some of you might even start work this evening. As you start your work week, as you start to do the things that you need to do, let us all remember that in order to be strong and courageous, we need to let the Holy Spirit work in our hearts. I'm going to ask if we could all open our hymnals. And I'm going to ask those that we're going to lead our closing hymn to please come up. What number is our closing hymn? 469, for those of you that don't have the bulletin. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. There's a song that we sometimes sing. It says, "Lean on Me." Lean on Jesus, and we need to be leaning on the everlasting arms of Jesus Christ. Shall we stand together? You've been sitting long enough. Let's stand.
What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. The everlasting arms. on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Secure from all alarms, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the opportunity that you gave us to worship together as a church family. Father, I ask that the Holy Spirit may continue to work in our hearts so that we too may become men and women that are courageous and that have spiritual strength. But we know that that will only happen with the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. So this morning we give you, Holy Spirit, permission to continue to mold us, to continue to transform our hearts into the image of Jesus Christ. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.